Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Alan H. Meltzer, A History of the Federal Reserve, Volume 2. Book 2 covers United States monetary policy and central banking from 1970 through 1986, the era of the Great Inflation, repeated recessions, and the eventual disinflation associated with the early Volcker years, written as an institutional and policy history rather than a memoir or a textbook. The book aims to explain why the Federal Reserve made the choices it did, how those choices connected to prevailing economic ideas, and how the Fed balanced its public mandate against political and financial pressures. Meltzer draws heavily on Federal Reserve internal records and decision-making documents to reconstruct debates and motivations inside the institution. The result is a detailed narrative of policy strategy, operating procedures, and governance challenges during a period when credibility, independence, and the interpretation of economic signals were constantly contested. It is designed for readers who want a deep account of what happened and what it suggests about central bank behavior under stress. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, explaining the Great Inflation through policy choices and incentives. A central concern of the book is how the United States moved into and remained in high inflation during the 1970s, despite growing evidence that inflation was becoming persistent. Meltzer frames the period as one in which the Federal Reserve repeatedly adopted short-horizon approaches that sought to smooth economic and financial conditions, often at the expense of medium-term price stability. He emphasizes the way policymakers interpreted data, weighed unemployment against inflation, and responded to shifting narratives about the sources of price increases. Rather than treating inflation as an inevitable outcome of external shocks alone, the history highlights how decision processes, institutional habits, and the desire to avoid near-term costs affected outcomes. The book also shows how the Fed struggled to communicate its objectives clearly and to maintain a consistent strategy when faced with changing leadership and a volatile economic environment. While some reviewers dispute parts of Meltzer's interpretation, especially the weight he places on changes in policymakers' objectives, the book remains valuable for tracing how repeated incremental decisions can generate an extended inflationary regime. Secondly, independence under pressure from Congress, the Treasury, and the White House. Meltzer repeatedly returns to the tension between the Federal Reserve formal independence and the practical realities of governing in a political system. During 1970 to 1986, inflation, unemployment, and interest rates were highly salient political issues, and the Fed faced intense scrutiny from elected officials and the executive branch. The book describes how policy debates were shaped not only by macroeconomic analysis, but also by concerns about public backlash, legislative threats, and interagency conflict. Meltzer argues that pressures from Congress, the Treasury, presidents, and senior White House staff frequently encouraged the central bank to focus on near-term economic performance and financial market calm. This theme matters because it connects institutional design to outcomes. If independence is fragile, policy can become more reactive and less credible, especially when painful stabilization is required. By documenting internal deliberations and external interactions, the book provides a granular view of how independence is tested in real time. It offers readers a way to think concretely about the mechanisms through which political influence can operate even without formal control. Thirdly, from the 1970s to Volcker-era disinflation and restored credibility, the later part of the period culminates in the shift to aggressive anti-inflation policy and the difficult path toward restored credibility in the early 1980s. Meltzer treats this transition as a defining institutional moment. The Fed moved from repeated accommodation of inflationary pressures to a posture that accepted substantial short-run economic pain in order to reduce inflation. The book situates the well-known high interest rate environment of the early 1980s within a broader story about operating tactics, internal disagreements, and the challenge of sustaining a tough stance through recession and public criticism. It also highlights the importance of expectations and credibility, showing why disinflation required more than modest adjustments and why markets and the public needed evidence that the regime had changed. Meltzer connects the episode to questions about strategy selection and the limits of fine-tuning, even where readers disagree with his preferred explanations. The narrative provides a detailed map of how the Fed navigated the end of the Great Inflation and how institutional memory and lessons from the 1970s shaped subsequent policy behavior through 1986. Fourthly, the role of economic ideas, measurement problems, and policy operating procedures. Another major topic is the relationship between economic theory, measurement challenges, and the day-to-day mechanics of monetary policy. Meltzer traces how shifting views about the Phillips curve, the meaning of slack, and the interpretation of inflation signals influenced decisions. The 1970s were marked by uncertainty about potential output, changing financial conditions, and evolving views on the reliability of monetary aggregates and interest rates as guides, the book shows that policy was not only about choosing goals, but also about choosing instruments and procedures. And it explores how the Fed attempted to translate broad objectives into operational targets that could be implemented in money markets. Meltzer argues for attention to incentives and medium-term consequences, and is generally sympathetic to more systematic, rule-like approaches compared with ad hoc adjustments driven by short-run data noise. This emphasis helps readers understand why two central banks facing the same headlines might act differently depending on their internal models, their preferred indicators, and their tolerance for uncertainty. It also clarifies how technical operating choices can have major macroeconomic implications over time. Lastly, regulation, lender of last resort responsibilities, and lessons for crisis policy, although the core narrative centers on monetary policy. Meltzer also addresses the Federal Reserve's broader institutional role, including supervision and lender of last resort functions. His treatment underscores that central banking is not limited to setting interest rates. The Fed interacts with financial institutions, shapes incentives through regulation, and must decide when and how to provide liquidity in stress conditions. Consistent with the framing highlighted in public descriptions and reviews, Meltzer favors approaches that are more predictable and grounded in incentives, warning against over-reliance on command and control market interventions and against being driven by short-term signals. He uses the historical record to argue that institutional behavior in one domain, such as regulation, can influence the environment in which monetary policy operates, including the buildup of vulnerabilities. The book includes reflections that connect the 1970 to 1986 experience to later debates about crisis management and the boundaries of central bank action, without turning the volume into a contemporary polemic. For readers, the value lies in seeing how governance, rules, and accountability questions recur across decades whenever the Fed faces trade-offs between stability, moral hazard, and political legitimacy. In conclusion, this volume is best suited to readers who want a serious, document-grounded account of how the Federal Reserve actually behaved during the years that defined modern American central banking. Scholars of economic history, monetary economists, policy practitioners, and advanced students will gain the most, because the narrative assumes interest in institutional detail and in the logic behind policy deliberations. The benefits are both intellectual and practical. Intellectually, the book supplies a long view of the great inflation and the subsequent disinflation, showing how sequences of decisions, not single events, shape regimes of expectations and credibility. Practically, it offers a framework for thinking about independence, communication, and strategy selection when political and market pressures are intense. Compared with many books on the era that focus mainly on personalities or on a simplified inflation story, Meltzer stands out for the breadth of archival reconstruction and for linking internal debate to economic ideas and operating constraints. Even critics who question parts of his interpretation often acknowledge the scale of the synthesis and the usefulness of the evidence he brings together. As a result, it functions not only as a history of 1970 to 1986, but also as a reference point for evaluating recurring claims about what central banks can know, what they can control, and what they should prioritize. If you would like to support Alan H. Meltzer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.